Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
So what the fuck is happening, people? Welcome to the General Banter in-car podcast that's happening in the city of Derry / Londonderry on a goddamn... What fucking day is it? It's the 10th of July. It's a Tuesday. Girlfriend Maureen, who is now wife Maureen, is doing some graduation makeups up here. I decided I would come up, basically kill some time, and then we'll go to fucking Port Stewart or something like that. So I'm sitting here rather dodgily, trying not to look suspicious while I do a podcast in the car. God damn it. Something different, you know. But this whole Patreon thing, gonna have to do more than one podcast a week. And these are the sort of circumstances that you find yourself in. I'm just making use of the time right now. First of all, if you're listening to this podcast, rate and review the bastard thing. Go on. And just fucking, just rate and review it, you know. Click in there. And I've just seen a van, a North Down van. They're the ones we hired their fucking stuff off for the wedding, and I've just seen them up here in the city of Derry / Londonderry / Wall City. The Patreon was set up last week, and the response has been overwhelming. Like I've mentioned before, it's getting more and more out of control, which means, you know, as soon as we're in motion, really, we can start sort of getting good mics and maybe do podcasts that aren't in cars in the middle of the maiden city. But just shout out to everyone who's fucking donated. Like I said, it's just being part of the Dead All Mafia. You know what I mean? If you like the podcast and you think you would like to hear more of it, just simply fucking... Fuck off, phone. Just simply throw me a couple of American dollars. Shut the fuck up. And that'll free me up to do more stuff. Been doing two podcasts a week since we started. So yeah, it's working well. The podcast's already sort of paying for itself. Like I said, it won't be long before we could afford, you know. It's funny because it's not that you can't afford it. It's just that you can designate real time and effort and money to just doing the podcast so that I can get it out for more people. And you know. Some guy the other day said to me, oh, I've just discovered your podcast. And I was like, oh, classmate. Well, you have about 300. By the way, in typical asshole fashion, like I've done, we had a 300th episode about fucking two podcasts ago. And I didn't even pay attention. That could have been a celebratory, could have done something important. But instead, I just brushed over it and didn't even fucking notice. Because we're too busy pumping out shit around here. Bitch. Let me drink my fucking... Oh, I am off my tits on coffee right now as well. Before I tell you this shit story, yeah, just on the Patreon note, shout out to everyone who's donated. Anyone that feels like donating, it's going to a good cause. And I don't mean that in a charity way. I mean, like, if what you want is more podcasts out of me, more content, that's the way to sort of help facilitate that. And on the next podcast, I'll do some shout-outs to some Patreon donators. And it's all good, babies. Shout-out to the Dead On Mafia. I'm drinking a cappuccino there from McDonald's because I'm in Derry. And, you know, we left our house at about 6 o'clock this morning to get to Derry. And, you know, your body's not quite in motion at that time of the morning. And by in motion, I mean it thinks it's still asleep and you don't really need to shit or anything like that. So we hit the road, have a coffee, you know, pulled over, got something to eat, on the way, got myself a little breakfasty roll type thing. Ate that, got another coffee, entered Derry, was like, do you know what? I've been up long enough now that if I was at home, I'd have two or three shits in the bag right now. Dropped Maureen off, walking around like, this is really starting to stack up, you know, in the old shit pipe. And went to Sainsbury's, you know, went in to go to the fellas loo's. Obviously, what has happened was there's a guy on his break taking a shit in the stall, and he's just waiting there for fucking ever. And I'm like, come on, bro. And then I go, I buy some bullshit just to fucking pass some time. I then come back. Okay? I'm like, what the fuck's going on here? He's still in there. I then leave again, busy myself. Come back a third time. Oh, look at that car. I love an old Mercedes that someone's kept and put a fucking set of wheels on it. Anyway, third time. He's still in the shitter. You know what I mean? He's killing time on his break. I understand. We've all been there. But at this point, the disabled thing has an out of order thing on it. I can't go in the women's. There's a baby changing one. I'm like, I'll just shit in the baby changing one. I open it. There isn't even a toilet in the baby changing one. It's literally just for changing a baby. So I'm like, fuck this. Got back in the car, drove to McDonald's, and bought a cappuccino. You know, took a shit. Which at this point, it had really been stacking up. So the only thing I can really describe it as is it looked like one of fucking... It looked like Usain Bolt's leg. That's what it looked like. Just brown and fucking long as shit. And I walked out and I forgot my cappuccino. So I bought a cappuccino, like, oh, you know, I'm not just in here shitting. Bought a cappuccino, took a shit, left without it, had to go back and get it. So it was fucking embarrassing. It is very weird sitting in this car park of Sainsbury's trying to act natural as people walk past and you're trying to record a podcast. It's not the first run-in with a fucking sound recorder I've had here. I can remember coming out of here during the height of the bird flu with a box of beer, and the guy was doing interviews for BBC Radio Foil, and he's like, here, John, go and get us a fucking... I can't do a Derry accent, lived here 4 years. He's like, do you have any opinions on the bird flu? And I went... And I wasn't even trying to be a cunt. I was just carrying like fucking 48 beers. And I was like, nah, not really. I'm not a bird. So, I'm alright. And the guy was like, just hit stop on the recorder. Like, you fucking dickhead. I was like, oh, I'm not a bird. I'm not worried about it. If he was really funny, he would have went, what you need to worry about is like swine flu, you fat fucking pig. That's what you should be worried about, you fucking heap of bollocks. It's weird being in Derry. It's funny because you only realise, like, now, see, about a couple of years after I went to uni, it became very normal for everybody to just go away to uni. Like, literally about 2 or 3 years after. It seemed like everyone I knew was just like, oh, where are you going? They were all going to, like, Queens, Jordanstown, McGee, Coleraine. They were all doing that shit. And shortly after that, everyone was just like, nah, fuck it, I'm with fucking, see you later. And even if they failed it, or even if they just skimmed through the fucking course, they had a way better time in, like, Edinburgh or Liverpool or somewhere like that. But that would be my advice for all you young kids out there. Definitely just get yourself away. Because even if you just do a year, drop out. You know what I mean? I had mates that were in Edinburgh, and the guy was like, oh yeah, there's girls over here, full-blown cat fucking addictions. You know, but their dad's own like fucking a chain of nightclubs and just sends her fucking $2,000 a week. Like, that sounds amazing. Imagine sending a child $2,000 a week, like... How balling out of control you'd have to be like, just keep her, fuck, just make sure she's not dead, you know what I mean? Make sure she doesn't starve or turn to fucking, you know, selling her asshole for money. Just send her a pile of cash, keep her in the cat, keep her well fed. That's a lot of cat, in fairness. Like, is it that addictive? I've never taken cat, I'll be honest with you, but I feel like, does that just make you sleepy, you know what I mean? $2,000's worth of cat a week. Would you even wake up? not in a dead way, but, you know, would you just fucking lie there, just, and it would wear off, and you'd wake up, and you'd be like, oh, let me take another fucking dose of that shit. Unbelievable. It's weird. It's weird, some of the fucking stories that, like, I'm trying to remember from being up here. I remember there's a student village over there, and we used to do rugby training in it. McGee rugby team. You can imagine what sort of fucking pile of bollocks that was. But anyone that was remotely fucking well built got asked to play. I think I've probably told this story in a podcast. But by the way, me and Mickey Barlow went to the same university at the same time, and I recognized him, but just didn't know who he was. And never really spoke, never crossed paths the whole time. And then later, comedy brought us together. You know? But, like, he'd been roped into going to rugby practice and turned up to get changed. And me and this other dude, Chris, ran out two props. And Mickey said he just fucking lit a fag and went home. You know? Because I just charged out of there looking like a goddamn... Just like in those rodeos when they open the gate and the bull just goes... That's me. That's me, bro. I was probably smoking too. You know what I mean? But fuck me, that's hilarious. I remember seeing Mickey dressed as fucking Superman or something, just in a bar, and thinking, look at this fucking stupid cunt here, highlights in his hair. There was a photo went up the other day, and it was look at that goddamn Mercedes. That is cute as shit. Yeah, photo went up the other day, and it was it was from the set of LOL, where it was me, Shane Todd, Mickey Bartlett, and we're all dressed. I mean, everyone was like, oh, you look like a bunch of fucking spides, and you're like, yeah, it's obviously a costume, you dickhead. But they're both in the photo, and they've gone to shit, you know. Shane did look like a wee fucking Polish lad that sells cat. And, you know, he's grown up. He hasn't really. He looks exactly the same. Mickey's there. And he just looks... He looks similar, but he's got a bit of a beard. And it's as if you take a young Mickey and just add 800,000 pints and 50 million fags. And that's kind of what you get. Do you know? That's what you're looking at right now in real life. I, on the other hand, haven't changed at all. And as someone said, when you look 35, when you're 20, and you look 35 when you're 31, you'll probably look 35 when you're 35. And chances are, when you're 45, you'll probably look kinda the same, you know? And I feel like, if anything, I probably look better, which is terrifying to think about. So yeah, them two, you'd be like, oh, look at these young bucks. And then you're like, and then there's Colin, unchanged. You know, probably a bit heavier in the shoulders. That's it. Look the same, bro. Look exactly the fucking same. Stop smoking. That's about it. That's the only difference. Been laying off the drink big style these last 2 weeks. And by that, I mean, I've definitely drank once a week. But in typical asshole fashion, it's me just trying to be like, I haven't drank for a week. I wonder, should I stay off this? And then I go, I'll have a few beers, see how it feels. Because it just wasn't agreeing with me recently. And then I had a couple of beers, and I was like, I hate this. I literally hate drinking. I don't know whether it's the sun, and it's very hard to not drink in the sun. But when you do drink, it's kind of like, you don't feel good. Do you know what I mean? I don't think you feel good drinking a whole pile of fucking... I suppose that's why people invent summer drinks. That's why you have a G&T. And a Pimm's like a fucking asshole. I don't even know what Pimm's is, but, like, you know, we were in Edinburgh at the Fringe, it was like, let's get Pimm's. And it's as if they go, 2 seconds, turn round with a jug and just dip it in a pond. And take it out and go, there you go. What the fuck is this? You're like, well, it basically someone barfed it in here. What'd you do? We had half a jug of iced tea, and then we let someone vomit it. We let a chimpanzee vomit into it. That's what it looks like. It looks like the food prepared for a chimp in a zoo. Did you ever see those zoo programs? And they're like big things of chopped fruit. And then just like someone's poured a bottle of Coke over it. and it tastes like nothing. I don't know what the fuck it is, but they're probably the drinks you need. G&T, vodka soda, daiquiris and shit. 9 bottles of Corona just makes you feel like dog shit, and you're warm, you're pissing too much, you're dehydrated. You don't really get drunk, you just kind of get a bit wobbly, and then you're just sitting at the dead of night, just feeling sick. Don't like it. Can't be arsed. Too many things to do these days, you know? Too many podcasts to knock out, too many fucking film ideas to write, all that shit. Now, what fucking lunatic is going to use a bottle bank at this time of the morning? That's insane. It's funny because there is obviously this massive wave of awareness now of the amount of single-use plastics that get used. You know, people are like, oh, you can't use, you know, plastic bags are fucking a pound each. Then fucking, you know, we're banning straws and all that shit. Oh, you're not allowed to use plastic cups. In fact, I'm going to do ads for Keep Northern Ireland Beautiful. In relation to banning or cutting down on single-use plastics. However, I don't think the problem with single-use plastics is in the Western world. Because if you ever go to Southeast Asia, the amount of fucking plastic knocking about is terrifying. You know what I mean? You literally buy a coffee and they put it in a plastic bag for you, which doesn't even fucking make sense. Can I have an iced coffee, please? No problem. There it is in a bag. And they have bags for liquids, you know? You're like, oh, I can't throw a coffee in a coffee cup or in a Tesco bag. And they're like, not a worry, we've got a long bag that you can keep it in so you can jump on your fucking moped and wah! Iced coffee stays fucking sweet. It's weird as fuck. But any of those places where it's like, oh, there's an island of plastic, I bet you it's somewhere near Southeast Asia, because those fucking, they're just wild. The amount of fucking rubbish that accumulates in all those Vietnam type places. You know, you're walking around the streets at night and the place is just hiving with fucking rats. And just plastic everywhere. Like, you could eat, if you went about your day and just shopped a wee bit, you would end up with fucking 15 bags. But no one's advertising over there, no one gives a shit. Do you know what I mean? No one's running around like, don't you be using plastics now? And the guy's like, well, how am I supposed to carry it on my fucking moped? Of which there are 100 million mopeds and, you know, the fucking pollution's killing the whole place. It's very weird, I don't know. Certain places where they just don't give a shit, whereas in the Western world, when it's a bit more comfortable and you have a bit more time to fucking think about things, you're like, it's probably bad we shouldn't put these in the sea because someone cut open a seagull and it was full of lighters. Just at a fucking party. I've got a fucking lighter. How long did I club this seagull to death and cut it open? Jesus Christ. But yeah, there's... Whereas over there, you know what I mean? Life moves too fast. It's too much of a struggle. Daily grind. They're like, oh, you shouldn't use too many plastic bags. And they're like, shut the fuck up, okay? I've been up since 4 in the morning, basically sweeping this one bit of street all day. Hopefully someone tips me. You see that in Southeast Asia? There's no, like, nobody stops, you know what I mean? Like, you're walking down the street and there's some, in fact, if you watch the vlogs we made in Vietnam, there's a bit where Maureen's like, I have to go buy something off this old woman. And there's like a fucking, she must be 110. Walking along the street selling these fans. Maureen went and bought a fan. And you're like, so, you know, she should be retired. But it's like, why? She's probably like, if you can contribute to your family somehow, you should do it. It's fucked up. I don't know what the fuck I was going to talk about there, but it made sense. Single-use plastics. Cutting open fish. Those fucking miner boys. Or not miners, but those wee boys stuck down the hole in Thailand. First of all, I will never go potholing. Ever. I'm not built for it, okay? In fact, what you needed down there was me to be the last guy in the thing, and I get stuck, and then the water builds up behind me, and then I'm just like, we're all good, baby. Get us the plug, that's what they call me. I don't know why anybody does that. Like, as soon as you do that, you're like, oh yeah, that one of the main problems with potholing is if it flash floods, it fills up with water and you die underground. And they're like, oh, let's go down here for a big old crack. Suck my dick. Okay? I went to the Coochie Tunnels in fucking Vietnam. And I was carrying a camera. And for me to be able to navigate my way through this tunnel, I'd have had to get on my fucking hands and knees and crawl. And I was like, nope. When I bent down, my whole body filled the gap that it was in. There was no room. There wasn't even enough room for me to crouch and walk. It was a fucking disaster. And these Thai kids are going fucking potholing. In places like that. That Southeast Asia thing. All the rain is a flash flood. You know, there's never like a light bit of drizzle. It's all just like, is that two bits of rain I just felt? Pishing down. So I don't know why the fuck you would ever do that. But then shout out to our boy Elon Musk, who was like, oh, see, something's happening there. Let me send some engineers. That guy's just like, you know, he's almost like lawless. What's the word? The rules don't apply to him anymore. He's done so much, and he's developed so many things, and he's probably so rich that he's just like his own fucking, you know, he's technically like, I kind of run this country, but I don't, but I can make shit happen. Is he not building like a fucking hyperloop around fucking LA underground? And he was just basically like, here, I'm going to do this. And everyone was like, go ahead, Elon. Work away. You weird, pointy-faced wee weirdo. It's mad. Isn't it mad that, like, Amber Heard was going out with Johnny Depp? She's obviously a bit of a psycho, but she's so goddamn hot that he was like, okay, I'll just fucking oregano. And spending, like, $10,000 on a bottle of wine and all that shit, losing his mind. And, you know, probably lost a lot of money to her, breaking up with her. Oh, he hit me and all this shit. Elon Musk just goes, come over here and suck my dick. And then jump on this goddamn teleporter and whiz away off the fuck. That is the ultimate. That's Elon Musk, like, if he's just, like, Amber Heard is so hot, like. So hot. But, like, such a psycho that the hotness is able to trump it. Even if you're someone like Johnny Depp, who could have all the posts in the world, and he's like, but she's so hot and she's mental. Take all my money. But fucking hell. Johnny Depp just smoking and drinking himself into a mess. I think he's actively trying to become Keith Richards. You know, he's like, I like these rock starry fucking Hunter S. Thompson renegade bastards. But he's just an actor. Very good actor, but it's still just acting, you know what I mean? Acting's kind of a bit airy-fairy, isn't it? Compared to being a rock star or like a fucking mad writer. He's just an actor, he just does what other people tell him. So he's trying to badass it up by fucking these crazy bitches and drinking $20,000 bottles of wine. And smoking 1,000 fucking cigarillos a day. Looking like dog shit. What'd he spend on fucking... He launched... apparently he's bankrupt. Tearing his way through 640 million. You should give Elon Musk a shout. Anyway, apparently what the fucking... The deal was with Elon Musk... Was... by the way... I definitely have sinus problems all of a sudden. Like, I've developed them. My nose is always stuffy. And then if I breathe really hard through my nose... Up this nostril kind of goes instead of like a clear airway. It's like, oh, see, it seems to be fine now. It's fucked up. Apparently what they were going to do was pass a fucking tube through this thing and pass it through and then fill it with air, which would displace all the water. So it would just push it out of the fucking cracks, push it up, raise the water level, but then would allow for basically like, essentially like a tunnel for these kids to walk through, which is pretty fucking, pretty goddamn smart. Sometimes things like that happen, you're like, I am a fucking idiot, like, do you know? Like, I've done things creative, and, you know, sometimes when you're editing or something, you're problem solving, or you're writing things, writing jokes, writing material, you're kind of problem solving, but, like, not on that level, obviously. They're engineers, but, like, you really do feel like a fucking idiot sometimes. When you know that someone just walked in and went, oh yeah, just simply displace the water with a fucking blow up bouncy castle tube, and these Thai kids will walk free. It's mad. And I think they already fucking killed. Sorry, a diver already died, which is a bit fucking brutal, like, but rough. Mad shit. You will never ever, my back's fucked. You will never find me potholing. Not in a million fucking years. Outrageous. What other silly dairy stories can I tell you? Not much. I remember hearing a very funny line coming out of a bar, and there was this really aggressive guy. He's wearing like combats. Do you know like the paramilitary combat trousers that are like grey? That's what he's wearing. And he had them pulled up quite high. And he was slobbering. And he's like, oh, she kicked me out of that fucking bar, hey. And I, no, first of all, he went, hey, and like shouted at us, and I turned around like, I'm in no way a hard man, but I'm pretty sure us four lads could beat the shit out of you, you fucking retard. And then he went, ah, what are you messing? And I went, all right, well, what a weird way to engage with people, you know, just go, ah, you fucking wankers. What? Only messing. He's like, I got kicked out of that bar there. And I was like, oh, really? And he goes, aye. I was like, why is that? And he goes, I told your girl to, what did he say? I told the barmaid to kiss my wanker. Kiss my wanker. And he was fucking horrified that he'd been chucked out, like, I can't believe all I did was tell this girl to kiss my wanker. Kiss my wanker. I mean, obviously nobody's asked us any questions yet because it's fucking, you know, 20 to 10 in the morning. 7 minutes ago, 18 minutes ago. Oh, we actually got some. But that's a one of the questions was, any pergablin? Which is a reference to the documentary that I was talking about last week, which scared the fuck out of us. I mean, the thing is, I watched that and I was like, I could definitely deal with a fucking, a pile of pergablin for anxiety. That's another thing, been really trying to get that under control the last few days. I think it's when you're someone like me who has a lot of things to do, and you wake up and the list never ends. The list is like, gotta do this, gotta do this, gotta do this. Someone else rings, emails, there we go. Just goes on the list. And you feel like you're never making progress because you never fucking, the list never ends. But getting that under control. I think the key is you have to, you know, when you go to bed, you're like thinking about shit you have to do the next day. And then you wake up and you're anxious and you're restless and you get out of bed to go do it. And you get stuck straight into it. And that's not really the way to do it. You know, the way to do it is switch, have an end time and switch off at night. And then pick a go time again in the next day. But what you got to do is, you got to just like, I mean, that's, you've heard that a million fucking times. Like, you just got to fucking set your day up. You know what I mean? Just set your fucking day up and write down what you want to do that day and just have a wee bit of time thinking about it in the morning, I think. And just decide yourself, I'm not going to get too stressed out about any of this shit. I'm going to stop at a certain time. And I'm definitely going to try and exercise in the middle of that somewhere. You know? I think I need to buy some of my own fitness shit. Because I've been doing these group... I've been doing personal training. I've been doing these group sessions. Where you go in, there's like two or three other people. And you do the same workout. You sort of... There's two workouts, basically. It's like a sort of superset. So you might go in and be like squats. And then... You know, Bulgarian split squat things on the box. And then like a plank. And you do like three rounds of that. At whatever weight or reps or whatever. But I feel like... Not that they've been easy, but a lot of the sessions recently are kind of like... They're easier than they were. And I'm sort of like, am I just sort of keeping this ticking along here? Or should I go back to doing personal training and really tailor the workouts to myself? And then I sort of thought back, like some of the workouts that have fucked me up of late are ones I've just programmed myself. Do you know? So I'm actually quite good at stopping and thinking about sort of... Almost like CrossFit style workouts where I just make up shit and I'm like, right, I'll just work my way through these. So I'm seriously considering buying a fucking barbell and some weights and some dumbbells, some kettlebells myself and just sort of seeing, maybe just working it in with like one or two personal training sessions a week. Work on like skills and lifts and stuff with the trainer and then do my own sort of conditioning workouts at home. Don't know, guys. I should probably not really worry about that at all. I'm worried more about the amount of shit I put in my face. It hasn't been good recently, guys. We got a new kitchen in. The oven's wired up because it's like a fucking eye level one. But the cooker is on an island, or the hob is on an island now. So it's not wired. It's got to go up through the wall. So we're waiting on it to get wired. So we have nowhere to cook, really, other than ovening shit. So we end up just going out for food 9 times out of 10, which is not good either. Because you don't know what the fuck people are putting in your dinner. God damn it. Apologies if this sound quality is a bit rustly. Because I am touching this thing and it's all over the fucking place. It's been a while since I did a podcast by myself. Feels like I'm talking for a long time here. And it's only been half an hour. Annie Pergoblin. Would you ever think... about getting some local bands on for a chat, like the Bonnevilles or Hung Papa. Would be cool to hear some behind the scenes stuff, especially about the video you shot for the Bonnevilles. Well, there is going to be a sort of, that's from Luke Gorman, or I imagine his name's Luke Gorman. Gorman Luke. Yeah, funny you should mensch. I'm actually going to do a podcast with Weston from Hung Papa. We talked about that before. I think that's going to happen, hopefully. That'll be a good laugh. And then. Andy from the Bonnevilles, we're going to do one. He actually started one himself where he talks about music. But yeah, I'd like to do one with him. We could talk about the video. Not much really to say about the video other than... Who's this? What the fuck? Yeah, not much to say about the video. I'll do a vlog and I'll show you the video. But... Yeah, we'll chat about that. Andy, they're both super nice guys. Andy's a very fucking charismatic guy with a lot of stories, you know? And he's one of those people, I like people like this. He's in a rock band. He's a musician. But he's also into, like, really into cycling. And he's, you know what I mean? He prints t-shirts. He's into screen printing. And he's probably quite a decent artist if he's the one that's done most of their design. Do you know what I mean? He's an eclectic guy. I like people like that. You know, I like the Joe Rogans of the world where it's, you're a podcaster, comedian, fucking, you do archery, you do jiu-jitsu, you do all that shit. I like people that do a bunch of shit. You know? I like to think I do a bunch of shit. You know? It baffles me. My sister is one of those sort of people where it's like, you wouldn't know what to get her if it was her birthday. You know what I mean? You'd be like, what's Rachel into? And I'd be like, don't know. Sitting in luxury environments and going, this is nice. You know, like if you were buying a gift for me, you'd be like, oh, you know, he likes a number of things. Buy him some camera gear. You know, Buy him a fucking GoPro. Buy him a tripod. You know, buy him some nice trainers. He likes hats. He likes watching MMA. Do you know? He likes different types of music. You know, there's a ton. He likes cooking. There's a ton of shit you could get me if you wanted to buy me a gift. Whereas people like my sister, I'm just like, sorry, I don't know what you're into. You know, she says things like, aren't these tiles lovely and soft at the butt? And I go, kiss my wanker. No, I don't say that. But it's funny how, like, I love when people say shit like that. Kiss my wanker. My dad actually said that to my sister one time. He didn't say that. But, in fact, there's a good few lines and videos and stuff that I've done that are a direct quote from my dad. Do you know, like, my sister asked him years ago when we were both living home, like, could you give me a lift into town? And he was in the fridge, like, he was looking in the fridge, so he had the door open, so all you could really see was his legs. She went, can you give me a lift into town? And he went, kiss my bangle, and, like, pointed at his arse. And I was like, kiss my bangle. Tremendous. Bloody tremendous. Kiss my bangle. I was like, I've never heard bangle before for a reference to your asshole. Kiss my bangle. It's glorious, isn't it? He also called some guy a knob thrust one time. He's fucking knob thrust. And I was like, this is beautifully creative. I love when people are creative, but it's really dirty. I love that shit. Kiss my bangle. Hit this fucking cocksnogger. Where'd I hear that? I heard that somewhere too. I mean, a lot of lines and videos that I've done, I just heard, which is sounds like a lot of it's made up. Like, but some of the real classics. There was a dude, like, the 50 Shades of Gay one, where I said someone was, oh, she was wetter than a spastic's chin, which couldn't be a rougher thing to say. Wetter than a spastic's chin is probably one of the worst things. I'll be ready at 10 past. Might have to cut this pretty short. Yeah, it's like, that's the roughest thing I ever heard. And it was a guy outside the Crown. And he's like, oh, bloody blah, fucking Scottish guy. Oh, man, she was wetter than a spastic's chin. And I was like, Is it hilarious? Absolutely. Wetter than a spastic's chin. Gruesome. Say it in a calm voice. Hilarious. Yeah, I've only 10 minutes to chat to you here, guys. And we will get the fuck out of here. Let me see, is there any more questions? What is the absolute worst dump you've ever done? Well, I mean, you're speaking to me not long after I dropped possibly one of the worst dumps I've ever done. It wasn't bad. It was just a bit pressed for time, you know, but it was a good one. The worst shit I've ever done. You see, there's categories, because there's times when I've needed a shit and I did, like, a decent shit. Do you know, like the time of Coco Bongos when we were in Mexico, when I sort of had the shits, which means your body kind of empties out and then it takes a couple of days to build up again. And then when you finally get around to shitting, there's like 2 days worth of shit comes out. But it was good consistency of shit, you know what I'm saying? Good consistency is what you're after. But giant shit, good consistency. But I suppose the worst shit is probably just when we're either need a shit and it's a terrible quality shit or something like that. I've had a few surprises. I remember actually coming back from Derry one day after a drinking session and someone pulled in and I was like, I'm just going to go to the loo here, see what happens. Because we're stopping at a garage and I was like, I'll go to the loo just to be safe. And I fucking sat down in the toilet and just, and I was like, what if we'd have drove past this place? And I was like, nah, bro, I don't need a shit. I'm grand. And then, just absolutely filled my trunks down the road. It's fucked up, guys. Trying to think of what other sort of worst shits I've had. Don't know. Had fairly needed a shit pretty bad when we were in Vietnam once, and shat in the airport, walked to the gate, shat again on the way to the gate, got on the plane, the Jetstar flight, and shat again on the plane. I mean, you know, you're worrying about the size of your fucking hand luggage and stuff in these on Southeast Asian domestic flights, and then you get on the fucking thing and there's cunts with like chickens and shit. You know, as I said to Mickey the other day, you get on, there's a guy barbecuing at the back, and you're like, alright, I was worried that I had a fucking lighter in my pocket. You know, this cunt's fucking, this guy's gutting a fucking sheep in the corner. That's what it's like. What other bad shits have I had? I did shit outside once, where I was working for my granny's boyfriend, whenever he used to sell pallets, and before I was legal to work, so I was about 14 or 15, he'd paid me like fucking £6 an hour. It's a pretty sweet deal if anyone wants to get into this racket. You go around supermarkets, or you have certain deals with cash and carries and stuff, who get stuff delivered on pallets, and you go, can you lend me, or you're like, do you want me to collect your pallets and take them away? And they're like, sure, because we don't know where to put them. And you take them away, and even if they're broken and stuff like that, and then you pay someone like me, you know, to fix them and stick a board on it, drive a nail through it, and the pallet's fixed again, and you stack them up, and all of a sudden, you know, you get all these oddballs, and then you stack them up, sort them out, and then all of a sudden you have a lorry load of pallets that you've basically reclaimed and fixed by paying some child to fix them, like me, and then you sell them. But I can remember working for him one day, and, you know, just being caught out, just being like, I need a shit so bad. And I think I might have had an underage hangover, and I was like, right, I don't really know what to do here. And I just had to go behind a stack of pallets, really, and take a shit. Problem is, you squat down, and you're like, oh, I'm down for shit, and you start shitting. You forget that you piss also at the same time when you shit. So the first quarter of my piss basically hit the back of my jeans. So I wasn't too happy about that. But, you know, I was stinking and working, and it probably rained and all anyway. I was just covered in my own shit and piss. It was a nightmare. It was a fucking disgusting nightmare. And that question was from our good friend Joe Monk. Making me feel sick. Gross. Heavy metal welder, pog question. We'll try and make this one the last one. Just heard the riots in the Bogside started last night. Do you reckon we will ever get to the stage where the 12th of July is banned? I guess gay parades are in vogue nowadays, so perhaps not. That's funny. There's a whole pile of fucking problems going on. Because, first of all, people are like, oh, it's culture. But they all things like that turn nasty. Do you know what I mean? There's an air of lawlessness. If you walk through Belfast on the 12th, it's a madhouse. And people, I've done it. I walked down to meet Maureen one time. She worked in Mac. And to sort of walk her home, because you couldn't get a car through the town. So I was like, right. She's like, come meet me. Went and met her. She's working the 12th of July, and then walk through town. And it's like, and the thing is, like, I'm from originally, like, a very, fairly loyalist surrounded area. There's, like, big loyalist estates on every side of, like, where my dad lives. And I was shitting myself walking through the middle of town. It was fucking nuts. And police are there to sort of, not police it, but just keep an eye on it, really. But they don't want to fucking arrest people for minor things that you would normally get arrested for if you did it any other time of the year. But there's guys fucking just pissing everywhere. There's a guy, like, the guy just looks at the cop and goes, yeah! And, like, fucks a bottle of WKD up in the air and behind him. Not looking where it went, and it just smashes. And rather than the police fucking grab a hold of him and stick him in a van or something, which they can't do because as soon as they start kicking off, people will be like, ah, he's fucking cops and all, and then start throwing bottles at them, and all of a sudden these police are like fucking, they're getting bottled to death just for fucking doing what they should be doing, which is arresting a guy acting like a fucking antisocial wee dick. But that's what happens. There's an air of lawlessness which I don't like in anything. You know, I can get away with this because this is our fucking day of culture, and you go mad, throw shit at police, smash shit, set things on fire, nearly burn a fucking house down, which if you did it any other day of the year would just be absolutely nuts. Do you know what I mean? If you, on the fucking 9th of September, if you fucking put 200 pallets on a stack in the middle of a park and set it on fire, people would be like, arrest that cunt. But because it's at a certain time of year, it's fine. You know, and I don't think you should block off a whole town just to celebrate a fucking thing. The show must go on, you know what I mean? I don't know why everyone has to stop just because you have to march through town and absolutely march or absolutely have a fire, but have it in a fucking designated area that's half safe, you know, and there's one of them and thousands of people can turn up like it's a festival, but you can't have them every like estates will have four in the one estate, burn the fucking place down, which does not make sense at all. I don't know, it's just I just don't like things that are above the law. Do you know what I mean? Or I don't like things where it's like it's less hassle for the cops to just let it happen because of the trouble that would kick off after it. That's not the way things, you know, it's like when people are like, oh, there's a bunch of travellers stole things from that, sure, you can't start anything with the travellers, they'll fucking come, they're lawless, they'll come burn your fucking house down. And you're like, well, they should be in jail. Do you know what I mean? I don't know what the fucking problem is here. I've talked about gay pride before. Have it in Ormo Park. Pride in the park. Things like that where it's like take over the whole fucking city. If you want to celebrate pride, I don't know. Why have you to fucking shut the whole shit down? I don't know. Strange. But yeah, the fires and stuff are just fucking a disaster, like. Just burning your fucking house down. I think that might actually be it for the questions. We're 47 minutes. I gotta go get wifey Maureen here. That's been the car podcast, guys. Quite a short one today. But it's alright, guys, because there's two a week now. And possibly more bonus stuff, you know, if we play our cards right. This guy's parked in a more extreme fucking area of the car park than I am, for fuck's sake. Jesus Christ, mate. Anyway, we'll get the fuck out of here. And we'll see you again Friday for the other weekend podcast. If you want to support the podcast, go to patreon.com. Throw us $3, $4, $5, $10, whatever the fuck you can afford if you want to support this podcast and support more production of more content in a studio, not a car. This is just a wee bonus one, you know what I mean? I'm making use of the time. We're here, we're queer, we're partying. But that's it, guys. Patreon.com, conguest.com if you want to buy some fucking merch. And if you want to get tickets to the live podcast that we're doing in Mandela Hall, I would get on it the fuck, because the tickets are selling like fuck. And probably won't be that many left in the next few days. So get your hands on one of those. And that's it. That's all, folks. I'll see you next time. Rate and review it. Take her easy. See you later.